This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Molly Gamble. Molly runs the editorial team at Becker's Healthcare. She's going to talk to us about a few of the stories that she's watching closely currently and what she's seeing out there. Molly, why don't you take it away? Tell us a couple of the stories that you're watching closely and what we should be watching, what health system leaders should be watching.
Sure. Thanks, Scott. I have two that are pretty fully baked and then one that's more in progress, but the first two are pretty related. So one ran in our newsletter, I believe Wednesday, the BHR newsletter, about the brain drain, if you were to call it that, or this collective knowledge loss that hospitals are really feeling as a result of experienced employees' early retirements or resignations. So many stories are devoted to challenges hospitals are experiencing with recruiting, retaining employees. This piece examined some of the ripple effects of losing older seasoned workers, and this has been discussed at a high level, but Ed Yong for The Atlantic wrote a really compelling piece just basically exploring how even when people are missing, they can be replaced via headcount, but that missing knowledge can't always. Found an interesting study from 2014 that researchers at Columbia University School of Nursing and Columbia Business School did, where they found that just a one-year increase in the average tenure of an RN on a hospital unit was linked to a 1.3% decrease in their length of stay. So really, it does have some pretty strong implications for patients and families, and then for the people who stay, and the newcomers to an organization. So Mr. Yong for The Atlantic talked to a nurse based in New York who described her six-week orientation at her current job at a hospital. It was led by some people who had been with the ER for less than a year. She described it as shockingly short and just how she felt as though the public didn't really understand how great a loss of this generational knowledge hospitals are experiencing. So the piece seems to have resonated with readers. I think it explores some of the nuance that isn't always quantified, you know, social savvy. So if you're in an OR, how would you bring up something that you feel might be an inappropriate decision? How would you recognize when you're out of your depth? And those are such key dynamics to have to safeguard against medical errors. There's a lot here, but it was one story that seemed to, it drew a lot of reader interest.
No, it's a fascinating perspective, and you see it through organizations throughout the country, losing middle management, losing senior management, losing different people, not just junior people, and it's hard to bring people up to speed and deal with that loss of institutional knowledge. It's such an important issue. I saw a fascinating story where Walmart's offering $200,000 a year to store managers, and they can't find enough people to fill those gaps because they don't have middle management. And it's a story in healthcare, outside of healthcare, and a real ill issue. And obviously in healthcare, where the results are so important, something goes wrong, that lack of ability to work fluidly with teams because you don't have enough of that glue can make it really challenging. So, no, a great piece and a great point, Molly. Thank you. Tell us another story you're watching closely.
New York Times late yesterday came up with a report finding that workers aged 55 to 64 primarily are returning to work. Some data they share that basically draws them to the belief that there's more evidence that this early retirement narrative was overblown. This is something economists have been really interested in watching closely. Just will anyone who took an early retirement or hit pause, will they unretire a la Tom Brady almost? And come back and rebound to the workforce. And it's looking like, for not just for healthcare, this is for all industries, it's looking like there is some promise to that. So this is something we noted today in our newsletter. It's also something I think hospitals, just based on the comments, you know, just preceding this, I think would be interested in. If this early retirement narrative was overblown, it looks like there were some thoughts that, you know, it's not as though older Americans exited the workforce in much larger numbers than younger ones. It was more that economists anticipated a slower return, just given how they might be more vulnerable to COVID-19 at the time. It could contribute to early retirements, but it's looking like there is some great promise here that these folks are coming back. And there's also, given the fragility of a lot of the workforce in many different industries, there might be more opportunities for these people, given how a combination of age and time out of the workforce was a big detriment to people looking for jobs. Now, if we're dealing with a different labor force and different demands, there might be some more opportunities here to tap into these older and more tenured workers.
No, just a fascinating situation, and so interesting. And it's and I wonder how much it's due to people also finding themselves with the stock market crashing and so forth. People feeling, oh my goodness, they better get back to work and start earning again. And what a daunting situation. But I guess the benefit is getting some of these experienced people back in the workforce, which is beneficial for all of us, I guess.
Yeah. I think your inflation, I'm sure, is definitely a driver there too. So. The third one, Scott, I would love actually any thoughts you have on this one. It's something I'm looking to explore. It's a story idea I just, in the past few hours has come up with. But I think I'm interested to learn from safety net hospitals. As you see health equity and reducing health disparities come more and more in the forefront, it used to be something that was kind of relegated to the DEI departments of healthcare organizations. I think as you see that more and more, it's like, I'm curious if safety nets are seeing any changes to philanthropy, if they're getting any gifts. Why are donors continuing to drive gifts and big donations to the most established, prestigious organizations if and when safety nets in that neck of the woods are already embedded in communities that could really drive needle-moving changes toward these efforts? So it's something I would like to devote more time to explore, but it's something I think worth noting is that you continue to see established and prominent healthcare organizations receive pretty sizable gifts from time to time. I'm just curious where and why the safety nets aren't seeing any change in recognition if they have built their entire mission around reducing these disparities that are now so much more a topic du jour and just a bigger piece of awareness for many people in the general public too.
No, a fascinating perspective. I just saw recently a $50 million gift to the University of Houston Medical School reported on by one of our journalists, Magnificent Peace. And no, the point is very well taken. I mean, you've got these large established systems that have also developed very significant fundraising efforts, philanthropy efforts, as really a part of their business and what they do. The safety net hospitals, probably not so much. And then some of the safety net hospitals are county and state supported. And so there's a whole bunch of reasons to probably drive exactly the behavior that you're seeing and you're talking about. No, it's a fascinating perspective, Molly. I want to thank you for sharing that thought. What a fascinating situation. In any event, Molly Gamble really talking about three different issues: the brain drains in hospitals, some of the workforce, 55 to 64 coming back to the workforce, and then where does philanthropic gifts go to? And, a lot of them go to systems that have really significant systems that have built in real efforts built around fundraising and philanthropy and so forth versus some of the more challenged financially safety net hospitals. And a fascinating point and perspective. Molly Gamble, thank you as always for joining us on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.